line, I can see it's reflected on my side. Okay. Yes, just try to scroll down so that I can see. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, go further down so that Sizoibona, it can go up to the last page. Okay. No, it's fine, Sisi. Yeah, it's fine. Perfect. Okay. Mascabe, see. Try again.
Tina, well, now if you can mute your mic so that we can proceed.
Okay, Chaperson, let me mute my mic, ne?
Yes. Sorry, Nozu. I was supposed to have spoken to Sisanda, not you.
Okay, Jay. Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay, Jay.
Yes, it's my mistake. Honorable members, you are welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. Today is the 1st of September, Spring Day 2020. We meet at a time when the recovery rate in South Africa from the coronavirus has climbed to around 86%. But that does not mean that we are out of the woods. Part of the risk that accompany level 2 of the risk adjusted strategy is the fact that some people think that we are out of the woods, we no longer have the virus among ourselves, and some people behave in a manner that will make it possible for them to contract the virus. So we urge honorable members, the rest of our society who are joining us on the platform, to continue educating our people and we ourselves, making sure that we take all the necessary precautionary measures so that we do not contract the virus. Today, honorable members, we are going to be dealing with a matter of transformation in the tourism sector. We agreed as a committee some time back that every year during September, which is declared a tourism month, in the context of South Africa, we will look at the journey we have undertaken to transform the tourism sector and how far we are in as far as the transformation agenda is concerned. We have also agreed as a committee that this we will do every year in September for the next 4 years, to account to the people of South Africa on the necessary oversight we are doing on the executive, on the role of the private sector, the role that is played by generally our people who are in the tourism sector as different types of entrepreneurs and aspirant role players in the tourism sector, to look at the progress we are making in as far as transformation is concerned. So this is not going to be a one-year thing, something that we are going to be achieving overnight. It's going to be a long haul, because when you look at the last 26 years, we have not made much commendable progress in as far as the tourism sector transformation is concerned. But also it's important for all of us to understand that this transformation of the tourism sector is done in the context of the broader transformation agenda of South Africa. South Africa, which has still visible, very highly prevalent inheritances of colonialism and apartheid. And all of us as South Africans having agreed, black, white, Indian, colored, having agreed that we must join hands to overcome the remaining challenges arising from both apartheid and colonialism. So we hope that everybody will understand that this is an agenda to ensure that all South Africans can play a role in the tourism sector, particularly South Africans who were excluded from the economy of South Africa by design. I'm saying by design because you would know that both the colonialist and apartheid system designed through acts of parliament and other roles played by the country of the Queen to make sure that the blacks, Africans who are a majority, are excluded not only from tourism, but from the broader economy of South Africa. The generation that is responsible to take forward South Africa to make it a united, democratic, non-racial, non-sexist and a prosperous society must be a generation that is going to prepare the ground for the next generation to inherit a much better transformed South Africa, a better reconciled South Africa, a more united South Africa, a better South Africa that is non-racial and non-sexist, and some commendable levels of prosperity. It's not going to be an easy task going forward because within the beneficiaries of both the colonialist and the apartheid system, there will be those who are going to either frustrate these processes, others will drag their feet, others will pretend to be cooperating when actually they are not cooperating with the transformation agenda. Others will connive with other forces to frustrate the agenda of transformation. Others will do all means necessary at their disposal to transform, to stop the transformation of South Africa in general and the tourism sector in particular. But for us in this country to have peace, to have stability, we must work for this reconciliation. And this reconciliation will not be complete if it doesn't have the true total transformation of the South African tourism landscape. It's not going to go anywhere if we don't do that. The majority of our villages in this country, over 90% of them, experience zero activities of tourism. Over 75% of our townships experience zero activities of tourism. The small towns, the small dorpies, are doing slightly better because both the apartheid infrastructure and the colonialist infrastructure sought to reposition the small dorpies in their construction as points from which economic activities of supply of raw material, of agricultural products and so on were to be based. That is why almost all the small dorpies in South Africa have got the infrastructure that relates to roads, that relates to telecommunication, relate to infrastructure that relates to agriculture, particularly your storage facilities for grain. They've got the railway lines. They've got all other infrastructures that you need to move forward. And most of our small dorpies are linked to both the townships and the villages. So the apartheid design and colonialist design of South Africa was such that blacks must be suffocated, Africans must be suffocated. But it is now the responsibility of black, white, Indian, and colored South Africans to construct this new South Africa. And as I always say, it's not going to be an easy task. Those who are controlling the economy will not let go easily. We have seen during the coronavirus that, for instance, some of the banks and financial institutions will have promised this and that and so on. It's not all of them that live to those promises. That is why many people are now in debt. Many people are suffocating financially. some of the businesses in the tourism sector will never resurface again. They are gone forever. Others are going to struggle from now going forward, which means the owners will be swimming in debts from 1 month to another, from one financial year to another. So it will take them about 7 to 10 years to try and start breathing from the implications that we suffered as a consequence of the coronavirus. So coronavirus finds us in a stage where we have not moved much in as far as the tourism sector is concerned. You will see in the presentation that even the mere compliance to the triple BEE requirements is a big struggle for some of the companies. Black people and Africans in the tourism sector, mainly, most of them, they are sweepers, they are cleaners, they are garden boys and girls, they are drivers, they are security people. Some of them do the cooking in the kitchen. They are the tellers. They are receptionists. So it's just people who do renovations and all these other smaller, you know, things. When you look at job creation by the tourism sector, which is a big contribution to the economy of South Africa, you'll find that blacks and Africans, actually, the majority of them are in those job opportunities that I alluded to, sweepers, security, receptionists, the tellers, and so on and so on. They are not controlling the core of what constitutes the tourism sector in the South African economic sector. They struggle to gain access to finance, banks and other financing institutions. When they have access to those finance institutions and they've got their tourism structures in place, they struggle with the customers, they struggle with the market, they struggle with supply of everything they need to make their businesses a success. They struggle with the marketing. So it's a long way to go in as far as the agenda for transformation is concerned. And this responsibility to transform South Africa is not the responsibility of only blacks and Africans. It's the responsibility of all South Africans, white, Indian, colored, black, all sorts of South Africans. It is our collective responsibility to make sure that we don't only transform the tourism sector, but broadly the South African economy at large. Just yesterday, there was a presentation on TV about the ownership of land in South Africa, particularly commercial land, by one professor from the University of the Western Cape. And she indicated that over 78% of land in South Africa is controlled by white people. And this is by design. It's not that by the grace of the Almighty God, blacks and Africans found themselves without any control of their land. It was by design. Parliaments of the apartheid system set and passed laws which deliberately excluded black people from controlling the land. But we are in democracy now. So it's up to us to now grapple with the challenge in a way that will make everybody benefit from the land of the Republic of South Africa, but also those who suffered, those from whom land was taken by force, through the barrel of the gun, by killing them, by maiming them, taking their livestock and everything else that belongs to them. They must feel that some degree of justice, it will not be full justice forever, it will never be full justice, but they must feel that some degree of justice has been done to them. Because for you, for instance, to have a lodge or a hotel or a B&B, you need the land. So if you don't have the land from which you are going to be constructing your establishment and running your business from, if you don't have that land and you own the land, It means before you even start, you will have to start with a debt of having to access the land. When actually, when the land was taken away from our people, it was through the barrel of a gun and many other unlawful methods that were used to annihilate black people and push them to the periphery, and as far as ownership of the land is concerned. But here we are now, as South Africans, we are now in Parliament, honorable members. Our responsibility is to say, yes, there are all these things that are horrendous that have happened in the past. How do we construct this new South Africa going forward? How do we construct it in a manner that everybody will feel that they are part of the new project to transform South Africa, to reconcile it, and make it a country in which future generations can be proud of, where the economy will grow, not at the expense of Africans and blacks, but it will make sure that it benefits everybody, black, white, Indians, and colors, as long as you are a South African, be able to benefit from that economy. So that's the subject we are going to be dealing with today, the transformation agenda in the tourism sector. And as I said, annually we have agreed as the committee that we will be giving a feedback as a body responsible for oversight. So our oversight includes this matters of transformation. So this is a start that we are making as the committee, but we are also building on the work that was done by committees that came before us from the first up to the fourth administration here in Parliament. Up to the fourth administration. We are the fifth. So our sister, I'm now going to be giving to you to make a presentation, Sisanda. The presentation is in two parts. It will be Sisanda, then followed by Dr. Kuzwa. If Dr. Kuzwa can't make it because he's experiencing some technical, you will have to proceed, Sisanda.
No, ma'am, I'm struggling to link to the portfolio committee meeting on tourism.
But we can hear you. We can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much. I can't see you, Chair.
You can't see me?
No, I can't see you. I just hear the voice only.
Yeah, but I'm on the screen. As far as I'm concerned, we can hear you, and that's enough. Is it Honorable Mieni?
No, Galo.
Oh, Honorable Galo. Oh, President.
Yes.
So you are welcome. You have the link now. So the issue of the pictures and so on can be sorted out later. What is important for you to be able to hear, and for us to be able to hear you, and at least that we have achieved.
Okay, Chair. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Okay. I will see Sandra. Proceed, my sister.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just share my screen quickly before I do that. Okay, is that visible to everyone?
It's okay, it's visible.
Okay.
Six Democratic Parliament Transformation Report.
Okay, that's good.
Presentation by Ms. Sisanda Loni, the researcher, and Dr. Sibusiso Kuzwayo. So it's very clear.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Okay, good morning, colleagues, and good morning, members. As the chair has indicated already, my name is Sisanda, and I'll be taking you through the first section of this particular presentation. Let me just go through here. Now, if we're looking on this first page, basically, today's presentation is basically focusing on transformation as reported to by stakeholders in the tourism value chain. In July of this year, the committee basically made a call for public submissions, requesting suggestions from stakeholders on the transformation of the country, of the tourism sector in the country. And now while the response from the stakeholders at 28 submissions was not necessarily extensive, it however did cover various fields within the sector. Now a report of the various inputs was compiled and shared with members, and today's presentation is nearly a summary of that particular report. As I've said, that I'll be focusing on the first section of this particular presentation up to transformation challenges, and then my colleague, Dr. Kuzwayo, will be taking over from the public submissions section. Mine is relatively simple, basically, and it is just to provide a context as to the trends of transformation in the sector. As I've already mentioned, that a call was issued by the committee requesting submissions from stakeholders. And those submissions basically highlighted a number of challenges and also offered a wide range of proposals across the various types of tourism as well as the value chain at large. And before going into the actual purpose of the report, basically just to give a bit of context here is the fact that transformation continues to be critical to the development agenda of the South African government. And the tourism industry as a labor-intensive industry and also a key driver in economic development has been identified as having the potential to basically make inroads into the country's transformation agenda. And the purpose of this particular report is to basically just provide an overview for tourism stakeholders of the strides that have been made by the portfolio committee in its attempt to entrench transformation in the tourism sector. It also seeks to highlight the proposals for transformation of the sector as suggested by South Africans, and also to provide recommendations to the Minister of Tourism on how this particular area may be advanced in partnership with stakeholders in the sector. Now, this section basically provides an overview of the constitutional and legislative framework. Now, the tourism sector is one of the first sectors that actually developed a sector code in response to the stipulations of the BBBE Act in 2003. In 2005, the tourism charter was signed and a charter council appointed. In 2009, the charter was gazetted. And in 2015, the amended sector code was also gazetted and made binding on all stakeholders in the sector. Now, the mandate of transformation in tourism basically does not only lie with the National Department of Tourism, but is actually a constitutional mandate across all spheres of government. And in order for it to be, so therefore that makes tourism basically a responsibility of both national, provincial, as well as local government. And in order for all the strides to be made within transformation, all these partners basically need to work hand in hand to ensure that there is some form of transformation in the sector. And as you will see, even with the public submissions that we have received, how a lot of people, stakeholders within the sector, continue to struggle with local government and its role in basically promoting tourism, and also the issue of a lack of understanding of the sector and the role it plays within economies or within local areas. So that continues to be quite a huge issue for tourism in the country. If I'm going very quickly, please advise so that I can just slow down. So the body responsible for monitoring transformation within the sector is the Tourism BEE Charter Council. A new council was actually appointed by the Minister of Tourism last year. And they made a presentation to the committee on the transformation trends within the sector in October of the year. And what they do basically is to provide guidance on sector-specific matters affecting BBBE in the sector. They compile reports on the status of economic empowerment within the sector, and they also engage with various stakeholders pushing the agenda of transformation within the tourism sector. Now, as I've indicated now, that in 2018, they published a report titled...
Unmute, please. You are disrupting the meeting. Unmute. Not unmute, mute. You are disrupting the meeting. Please mute your mics. Continue, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So if we're looking at this particular slide, it just makes mention of the reports that have, or some of the reports rather, that have been published by the Charter Council. And the first, not actually, it's not the first one, but a recent one was in March of 2018, and it was titled The State of Transformation, and it provides insight into trends in the transformation of the tourism sector, specifically under three subsectors. That's accommodation, hospitality, as well as travel-related services. And the performance that was covered included the elements of the scorecard, which is ownership, management control, skills development, enterprise and supply development, as well as socioeconomic development. In the same year, the council also published the transformation strategy, which basically was in response to the initial report of the state of transformation. Now, in as I've indicated that in last year in October of 2019, the council actually presented its findings to the committee. So in this next slide, there's just a brief overview of some of the findings to the study. It's very brief, and the reason for that is that I don't want to waste time on what has already been covered with members, because the key focus for this particular presentation is actually on the public submissions. So one of the key issues that were presented within the study by the council was that more effort is still required in terms of three areas, and those are actually the priority elements of the sector code, and that is ownership, skills development, as well as enterprise and supplier development. This does not necessarily take away from the other elements within the code, but these three areas actually still quite need substantive work within the sector. And within the strategy report, they actually identified the following areas that need to be addressed. And the first one is on ownership. With regard to ownership, land and finance, and I think that the chair actually made mention of this in his opening remarks as well. So in terms of ownership there, the focus is on promoting black ownership of enterprises and relating specifically to equity of stake within tourism facilities in this regard. Now, when it comes to this particular area, all targets for ownership of black people were met in all the three subsectors, especially in regard to voting rights and black new entrants into the sector. However, the skill needs, a lot of work is still required when it comes to the number of black women as new entrants in the sector. This particular target was not met across all the three subsectors, and ranging from a performance of about 2% to 5% in terms of representation of black women as new entrants within the particular sector. And with regard to ownership, the issue of access to land and access to finance continues to be a problem, and this comes up again within the public submissions as well. And then another area or element within the sector code basically that still requires work is with regard to management and regulation in the tourism sector. Now, this particular element aims to promote more transformation throughout the operational structures of businesses. So this is particularly looking at fostering career development of black people within tourism facilities. Now, in the study, even though the targets are not met, the study indicates that tourism enterprises perform well when it comes to representation for as in terms of black members, in as board members, senior management levels, and middle management indicators. And this is particularly in the hospitality and travel-related subsectors. However, the same cannot be said when it comes to representation of women at these levels, as more black females are found at middle and junior management structures of tourism facilities instead of upper management levels. Now, some of the areas for development when it comes to management and regulation is specific that were highlighted relate to market intelligence. And this is now in relation to access to information for both existing and new entrants. This continues to be a problem in this day and age, which is actually quite unfortunate. And the issue there is that there continues to be a gap in terms of accessibility and distribution of reliable data and statistics when it comes to black-owned products and services. So that information is not necessarily readily available when it comes to a database of black-owned products and services, making it very difficult for people to actually interact or link up with those businesses and provide the necessary services So this in turn hinders transformation or the pace of transformation for those growing black-owned products and services. Another issue raised in that, under that particular area is with regard to monitoring and evaluation, which is crucial basically to assess the successful implementation of the Charter Council's transformation strategy. So a recommendation there is with regard to the development of an M&E framework between the Department of Tourism and its key stakeholders, and the aim is to basically evaluate the impact of the transformation program interventions. And then the next area there that is highlighted is with regard to enterprise development. This element primarily focuses on the development of black-owned enterprises with a focus on black individuals, women, and youth owner-managed establishments. According to the study, large enterprises do not necessarily comply with the set targets under this element. And that is the targets being referred to, they include, for instance, preferential procurement spend, supplier development, etc. Now, the accommodation subsector actually continues to be the best performing in terms of all indicators. So they actually focus more in terms of procurement spend, supplier development. And the reason for this primarily is the fact of the nature of their business in that they make use of multiple suppliers. So that means that they have that opportunity to link up with up-and-coming SMMEs, etc. within the sector and actually spend on their businesses in that regard. However, the travel-related subsector is the least contributed to these targets as they export the majority of their businesses. Some of the areas for development under enterprise development include procurement, which is specifically preferential procurement, as this is key in basically accelerating transformation in the sector. So that needs work according to the Charter Council. And the study further reveals that the progress in integrating small black-owned enterprises is very slow. And some of the reasons that have been highlighted were basically with regard to inconsistent quality of the products and services provided by some of these black-owned enterprises, unstable prices, as well as slow turnaround times. Now, in addition to that, some of the other challenges that have been attributed to this low pace of transformation is also the fact that there's a lack of knowledge and awareness of some of the actual procurement opportunities that are available to the sector. So once again, it goes back to awareness and access to information when it comes to what is available to some of these black-owned enterprises and the information that they can tap into to maximize on the opportunities that are provided by the sector. And then the last one from my side is with regard to the socioeconomic empowerment element, which relates to the promotion of the assets of previously disadvantaged people, transformative forms of social protection, microfinance, as well as skills training. Under this element, with regard to the code, entities can actually also gain additional points for contributing to the TOMSA levy. So this serves as an incentive to businesses to actually sign up to be TOMSA levy contributors. However, what the study indicated was that an average of about 34% of the surveyed enterprises are actually TOMSA levy collectors, which is a very small number compared to the number of enterprises that are available in the sector itself. So some of the areas for development under socioeconomic empowerment include beneficiation, which basically focuses on providing equal opportunities for black-owned SMMEs across the value chain, whether in the form of funding, skills development, investment opportunities, market access, and this is especially for, if I can call them that, disempowered stakeholders, and that's specifically for black females, youth, and people with disabilities. And then the last one is with regard to awareness. There continues to be a lack of awareness about the challenges and opportunities in the sector, and this in itself basically hinders the pace of transformation. Awareness programs are actually needed, especially in relation to legislation and policies in the sector. And what the study indicates is that the majority of enterprises in the sector do not have a clear understanding of BBBE and its benefits. So in a nutshell, based more or less, that is what the baseline study that was published by the Charter Council indicates, that these are the areas that continue to need addressing in order to hasten the pace of transformation. And that while some success or some form of progress is evident, and this variation across the subsectors, a lot of work continues to still need to be done to hasten transformation. And that, and what's very important to understand also is that that work basically goes beyond merely the codes. And that's what my colleague will be actually highlighting in this next section with regard to the public submission. As the focus on transformation challenges, I'll skip this because this is actually what the study by the Charter Council has indicated. And it's basically a repetition of that. So what I'll do is just move on to this particular slide, which Dr. Kuzwayo will be taking over. Thank you.
Thank you, Susanda. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members and colleagues. As Susanda has said, I'll be focusing more on the public submissions. But safe to say, most of the issues that are raised by the public are issues that are already in the pipeline to some extent. It's just that they need to be enhanced, and that maybe the Department of Tourism needs to come up with clear programs in terms of enhanced, because we find that some of the issues that Susanda has raised in relation to the compliance with the sector codes and other issues inherent thereto. Those things are being done, just that they need to be enhanced to some extent. So I will be going through the slides, and I will request Susanda to drive the slides for me. On slide 15, as Susanda alluded, we had submissions until the 30th of July, but as members indicated that they needed to be extended, then we were receiving others even after the 31st of July, and we had 28 in all. But in those 28, we have to indicate that there was some misunderstandings or the call for suggestion with some stakeholders, thinking Parliament was advertising a tender of some sort with regard to transformation. And some stakeholders submitted a business-tender proposal. But we also included those in terms of the line of thinking. So as a result, all the submissions were considered. In the next slide, 16, now, we categorized those into eight. We had those that deal with training and entrepreneurship, particularly around the role of youth, product development, the issues of access and maintenance of tourist attractions, broad-based black economic empowerment. That is mainly what Susanda was talking about. Then there was one submission that was opposed to the transformation as it is now implemented by government. Then there were others that talked to issues of information technology, embracing the fourth industrial revolution in the sector. Others talked to the future response in terms of COVID-19 and issues of tourism education. Slide 17 now looks at the training, entrepreneurial development of the role of the youth. So we are not going to be talking about everything that is in the report, but these are some of the suggestions by the public in terms of what they think needs to happen. And as members will see in the report that was circulated, it is not just about compliance with the sector codes. It's a whole lot of issues around product development, around though issues of product development will go hand in hand with enterprise development, but that is not enterprise development as within the confines of the sector codes as it is. So it goes broader than that. So what was suggested here is that there needs to be an empowerment of youth to own and operate their own businesses. So this calls for more intervention in terms of funding, in terms of them being able to establish and own those businesses. So it's not within the confines of the sector codes as such, but it needs a focused approach in terms of how we empower youth to develop and own their own businesses. And also training should go beyond the traditional roles, as your person was saying, to say mostly Black people will be in those menial jobs. So these days we have to look at the broader scope of the tourism value chain, even venturing into those areas where Black people are not industry players. There was a suggestion, for example, of training youth as Black professional hunters and outfitters, and the submission here even came with the suggestions to say how can this particular thing be achieved. Also, the issue of government getting into partnerships with big players to ensure that the youth do not just go through your normal internships, but the suggestion was that they can even shadow some big players, maybe looking at managers and so on within the tourism value chain, so that they are not only at an entry-level job, but they can shadow people in higher positions so that they are ready to operate their own businesses. There was an issue also raised about the tourist guides, the age gap within the tourist guides, to see the tourist guides currently are aging, so there needs to be a special attention paid to the training of youth as tourist guides, so that when the current cohort of tourist guides retire, you have a new intake of people in the sector. There is an issue raised with cat sitter. This is something that we were thinking, Chairperson, that maybe in the near future, cat sitter needs to be invited to interact with the committee, because they are the sitter that is responsible for tourism, culture, arts, tourism, hospitality sector. So the stakeholders are complaining that there have been changes within the programs provided by cat sitter, particularly when it comes to in-service type of training, where it has been taken out and therefore this is no longer available to the state. So it's something that needs to be tested by the committee to say how true that is. If that is true, then there needs to be intervention. So slide 18, and now we are looking at product development, and what is suggested is that there needs to be the development of iconic tourist attractions. So this means if you look at the villages, the townships and small dorpies, which is the focus of the committee, the suggestion is you need to have some iconic attractions that are developed in those areas so that they act as a catalyst for more other tourism businesses to be established in the tourism value chain. It's not just looking at developing individual smaller enterprises within this cluster of previously neglected areas, but you need to have a concerted effort to ensure that you develop iconic attractions or businesses that will act as catalysts. Also, investing in authentic tourism products that deals mainly with culture, cultural and heritage tourism. A lot was said in the submissions about cultural and heritage tourism being a low-hanging fruit for tourism, because we have people that already know and can contribute to establishing experiences along that sector of tourism. So it's just to have a concerted effort around that. Maybe to remind the members, there is already a cultural and heritage tourism strategy that is implemented by the department. It is maybe and coming upon the committee to then interrogate this to see how far they address these issues of really creating new businesses from the cultural and heritage tourism. So the issue of tourism roots also was raised as an important one to say we need to develop these routes that will link these tourist attractions and facilities, particularly around the beaches, to ensure that you have that link or the route that will be high impact, that will bring others like your crafters and so on, but it must be a recognized route. And we got a submission from a stakeholder that was showing us how they've done it, and to say maybe if you can, and it talks to a lot of things. It will be your events, it will be your attractions, your experiences, your hospitality products and so on, all of these grouped in a route to ensure that people in that area benefit from the tourism. But if you can look at this, Chairperson and honorable members, it's not just about compliance with the PE codes. It's about thinking how you then bring in new people in the value chain to then act in the tourism sector. Then you have another one talking to the infrastructure to say you need to develop infrastructure to encourage tourism, because tourism infrastructure in other areas is crumbling. You'll find that maybe the road infrastructure is crumbling and some of the businesses have been affected by some DMCs taking some of the tour packages out of those areas. We had a presentation, for example, in Fifth Parliament from the Charter Council. So they were saying in Eastern Cape, for example, I find that if you look at the whole area passing Mthatha to Kuno, there was a tour that will go via even the museum. The museum will close earlier, so the tour buses cannot get into the museum because they operate within the government hours, and the road infrastructure also was not good for the buses, so they were incurring more costs on maintaining buses, so they had to take that one out of their product offering in terms of the tour packages. So in the process, the infrastructure affected a lot of people that used to sell like their craftware and souvenirs to tour. So the issue of tourism infrastructure is also very important when we consider transformation, because these are mostly areas where tourism is not well developed, where you'll find the crumbling infrastructure. But embedded in that is the area of aligning government business hours to tourism hours, so that the government-owned infrastructure like museums and the like do not close whilst you still have tours that will be coming to those areas. And also, there is an issue of which links to development of catalytic iconic tourism products. So say you must have high-impact community-based tourism projects that will employ and create a lot of opportunities in the value chain in communities. The issue of capacitating local government also came through from a number of submissions, where one was even saying, I won't mention the province, but they're even mentioning the province, where they're saying when they interact with officials, find that the officials do not even have the concept of ecotourism, that they work for government. So it's not just about maybe councillors understanding tourism, is also ensuring that people who work as tourism officers understand tourism so that they can assist in the development. So continued there on page slide 19, also there was a suggestion of the creation of a database of all tourism products in the TSDs, and also this came as a form of a business proposal, but they were saying they can map all the tourism businesses in the VTSDs, and then they can maybe market them, and you can have like a monthly update of that document that will go even live on internet. That will ensure that tourism products in VTSDs are also marketed, which will create access to markets. Then there is an issue of capacitating local governance structures now. This goes beyond provinces and municipalities to communities to say, if then you say you're going to develop these iconic projects, you're going to be developing high-impact community-based tourism products, then your traditional leadership and community trust also need to be capacitated so that they can be able to assist, so that they don't become stumbling block but become partners in tourism development. There was another one that deals with niche tourism products to say that also is one of the issues that needs to be considered by government to ensure that you bring people as new players in those fields to then enhance ownership, because you still have a lot of potential. If you look at areas like agritourism, mining tourism, ecotourism, and others. So it's a matter of looking at niche tourism other than maybe saying through the scorecard, you get people to own those that are already existing, but to look at the new products in those niche areas. Then another one was looking at cooperative to say maybe we can look at also developing cooperatives, particularly in communities where you have like homestays and so on, where people can come together as cooperatives so that they can have economies of scale when they market, when they source products and so on. Then the issue of the tourism infrastructure development conference was also suggested. Already there is Meetings Africa that looks at investing in tourism, but the suggestion here from the public is that maybe you need to have a tourism infrastructure development conference where people can see where opportunities lie, and the DFIs can be invited, then they can see what needs to be done in terms of funding new products. On slide 20, now we're looking at the debt last region access and maintenance of tourist attractions. This is the area that is at the heart of what the community has been discussing in the past few meetings, looking at, for example, the example of how where the community went, where we find that responsible authorities do not take proper care or maintenance of attractions. So the suggestion is those responsible at a provincial and local level need to maintain the tourist attractions, and also there needs to be partnership with South African police services or even local metro police to ensure that there is visible law enforcement and patrols at some of these attractions, and also arranging some cleanup campaigns at tourist attraction sites. The committee will recall after the summit that the committee had with SAPS, there was a commitment, and already there is some partnership that has already been established. So it's a matter of ensuring that those are enhanced in terms of ensuring that the tourism attractions are safer. But the issue of maintenance is broad, as the committee will see when maybe we meet with the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture, Sports and Recreation, in terms of how even the governance of some of these attractions span across national, provincial, and local, which becomes a problem in terms of who then is responsible for maintenance. Slide 21 continues with local municipalities, because people are saying some of the issues lie with municipalities not fulfilling their roles in terms of solid waste management, or funded the speakers, and which will then chase tourists away. The committee will recall the issue of beaches around Durban at some point where the blue flag status of the beaches around Durban had to be taken out because there was solid waste village into the beach. So these are the areas committees are saying we need to deal with all these issues, because if tourists run away from those areas where they used to visit because of these issues, it affects the small industry players that benefit from people who come to those areas. And also, there is issue of entrance fees at the national parks to say the small player that goes ahead and with the last bullet their own concessions to say there needs to be concessions provided for small players like for small operators in terms of how much they are charged when take people into the national and provincial parks so that they can also grow in their tourism businesses. The third bullet deals with norms and standards that need to be developed for safety protocols. That this talks to the issue that we'll also talk later when we look at the responses for COVID-19. But this is already in the pipeline, Honourable Members, in terms of the norms and standards that the Minister said was already developing. And slide 22 now is the issue of broad-based economic empowerment. So mostly these are the issues that CISANDA has dealt with. So I will just touch a few of them. The first one is the issue of funding. Already you have the Tourism Transformation Fund and the Tourism Fund. So the suggestion here is to say they need to be capitalized. There must be more funding so that if we talk about government funding, at least there is money available for emerging enterprises within tourism. The committee will recall when the department appeared, they said there was slow uptake of the Tourism Transformation Fund and this fund had not started. So this needs to, this is where the committee in terms of ourselves can make impact in terms of ensuring that if there's a call for applications, people apply, they get funding, but also demand available in those two funds is increased by the department. But having increased the amount in terms of capitalizing those funds, then the funding criteria needs to be simplified because the public is complaining that they cannot access because of the onerous requirements for accessing that funding. And the issue also of government complying with its own policy on procuring from BE compliant service providers was ready to say government has this policy but is not adhering to it. And also the issue of practical interventions. With all this having been said, what are the practical interventions? Because if you look even at the strategic plan, the five-year strategic plan and the APP of the department, as a committee, you have to go through various programs to try and identify where the department is attending to the issues of villages, townships, and small dormitories. So the call here is to have like practical interventions where you don't have to look for these, but you know for sure these are the ones that address the VTSDs so that the community can have proper oversight over those. On slide 23, it talks to some of the issues in the scorecard, but they are suggesting that we need to have more focus on supply and enterprise development element to bring in other people in the value chain. There is also a suggestion, Jefferson, of a tourism model to say, let us look at a tourism transformation model outside of the BE, as much as the BE scorecard is there is relevant. What is it that we need to achieve as a country, taking into consideration everything that the Jefferson said in the opening remarks? What do we need to do? There needs to be some transformation model that must be a deliberate process to ensure that everyone benefits and is represented in the sector. And also, as much as this is can be a challenge, as CISANDA alluded to say, tourism is a concurrent function. The second I was saying, maybe we need to reconsider the integration of tourism with other sector departments at a provincial level because tourism then is not prioritized. On slide 24 is also to look at how the district development model can be done to enhance transformation to say when, for example, the Department of Tourism invest in projects in the identified, not because the general said no, they are using what government has identified as not already. But when investments are done in those areas, then transformation is considered through the district development model. Also, the facilitation of implementation of the tourism in social arrangements, because the stakeholders are saying at a local level, find that you don't know who to talk to because there are no structures that can assist those people who want to become entrepreneurs. So we are saying, Chairperson, already the NTSS has the tourism institutional arrangements at a national, provincial, even local level. That is for the department to then assist to ensure that all levels of government have the institutional arrangements in place as far as in the NTSS. And also the issue of special training projects for the youth in the DST, because the submission says we find that there are these training programs, but some of them, they are not custom made for people in the rural areas who need to get into those niche tourism development projects. So you need to have a custom made training for people in those areas. And also, this one is the one that the last bullet, Chair, is the one that I said, is the whole stuff. It is in the details in the report, but we just summarize it with that bullet where the submission is saying maybe government should look at firstly studying what are the economic benefits of intervening in the tourism economy, because seemingly a lot is done, a lot of money is pumped into what government think will transform the sector, but at the end of the day, it doesn't do it. Rather, government should leave it to the market forces to determine transformation. So you leave government out of it. But then I think we have to juxtapose this with what the chairperson said earlier, to say there was systemic exclusion that was sometimes even influenced by government policies then. So we have to look at that versus this submission that says government must be hands off and leave everything to the market forces. Slide 25. Now look at some of the solutions. These are solutions that are suggested, Chairperson, other members, in the report of the B Charter Council, and is to say maybe we have to drive increased ownership in the sector, because the issue of ownership is there, but this one is more confined to the scorecard, though it goes beyond to a certain extent, but mostly is within the scorecard. And finally, some of these issues are already addressed in the terms of laws and on the fund. But the suggestion that maybe to ownership, the private sector should establish a fund through method for supplier and enterprise and supplier development. So now, if you look at the suggestion against the Thompson levy that is already existing, then I think there needs to be a way where the two are integrated to ensure that you increase the number of levy collectors so that you can have more funding within the Thompson levy. So we are not suggesting there mustn't be a new fund, but I think you can have more in the Thompson levy fund if it is done correctly. Then the procurement and market access also, to say the state or enterprises should create meaningful linkages between the supplier, the enterprise and supplier development and their activity, so that you have more entrepreneurs benefiting from the SOEs. So there's also an issue of innovation training and skills development, to say widely in the sector you need to have innovation. That even suggesting a sector-specific sector. This is the matter that we're saying we need to invite Kate Sitter Chair, which is the responsible tourism, to look at their programs and how helpful are they in terms of the tourism sector. And focus monitoring also
of the department, because the government departments also need to be verified. So all the focus monitoring, though these things do not sit within the Department of Tourism, but it will assist when it comes to procuring tourism services. The next one, 27. Now we're looking at the issues of technology, Chairperson, embracing sports infrastructure. So there was a submission that went in details in terms of what they call the virtual reality and augmented reality opportunities available for youth, since youth is tech savvy this day, to say you can create a new tourism experience that can be sold through virtual reality, where you can have virtual tourists, you create products where people can be totally immersed in a tourism experience virtually, but you sell that as a product that is consumed. For example, people don't have to come to South Africa, but you can sell that product to them wherever they are. And the suggestion is, already there are businesses that are moving towards that direction, but it should be looked at by the Department of Tourism as whether you can have more and more of these, particularly for the youth. With the augmented reality, they say this is not a total immersion of a tourist in a tourist experience, but is using these gadgets to then have a more virtual experience of a tourist experience. But then for it to become a product, you'll need to then enhance the tourism product and have apps and so on, that when people go to particular attractions, apps that they can access and have a more fulfilling tourism. So it's more of a virtual tourism. So it's a matter that needs to be explored if it is viable. So there is also one that talks to innovation and research, to say in tourism we have a lot of studies that are conducted, but these studies do not in most cases translate into tourism businesses. So you have to invest more in research and development, not just research of the sector, but research and development, a research that will lead to the development of tourism products. Then integrating technologies in future tourism development, the society says that is a must, and everything is going technological these days. So even future tourism development needs to incorporate more of technology, and particularly mapping the tourism facilities as BTS, as we have alluded to, as you say, okay, if we have a portfolio for tourism products in BTSDs, then we create market access for them using technology. Then slide 28, and now look at the post-COVID era, but we now know, Chair, as we've been advised, that there might be no post-COVID era. So is to say, what then do we do for the tourism industry moving forward? One is to say the tourism sector recovery plan must be finalized immediately, so that we know and then we can communicate with our stakeholders, even our source markets, to say this is where we are going as a country. But linked to that is to say there needs to be these norms and standards for tourism safety, and already we know that the minister has alluded to developing those. These two go hand in hand in that for transformation to take place, you still need international tourists to come to South Africa. So it's not just to say we are looking at the recovery of the sector per se for the existing businesses to thrive, but for the new entrants to also emerge and thrive, you need a critical mass in terms of the tourists coming to the country. So the more we are perceived as a safer destination, the more tourists will come, then the more emerging tourism enterprises will benefit in the tourism value chain.
and also the issue of the communication strategy, to say there needs to be a communication strategy, because most of the issues that tarnish the image of the First Nation is because we do not have a communication strategy. But members will recall that SAT already said there is a strategy they have developed, is to ensure that it is communicated well and all the stakeholders know what to expect from their strategy. Slide 29 has to do with tourism education. It's not to separate it from training, because it looks at more on tourism education in terms of intensifying awareness, particularly as a career and employment opportunities. But we know that the already department is implementing the National Tourism Careers Act, for what they call the NTCE. So it's to look maybe at the impact of the NTCE in terms of creating awareness, because stakeholders out there, they are still complaining that the awareness not there for tourism as a career. People who choose tourism just an afterthought is not because they wanted to be in tourism as a career of first instance. So there is another sentiment raised around financial support and coordination for tourism education, to say you have a lot of funding that deals with awareness or tourism education, but relies ever so. Maybe there needs to be proper coordination of that support to ensure that information goes to relevant people, then they can get into the sector. Then there is another one, Chair, that deals with creating a conducive environment for education, labor, and skills development, both by government and the private sector. To say government and the private sector should create that conducive environment to ensure that we develop tourism skills across the board. And the issue of coordination, we have talked to it, but this one now looks at coordination with other sector departments in order to ensure that what we do as tourism is not just the Department of Tourism alone, but all other sister departments that have a role to play that role accordingly and appropriately. Slide 30. Now we are looking at the oversight approach. This, we looked at this from the time the committee started for six parliament, things that the committee has said over time, to say the committee wants to transform the industry, and the oversight approach that has been agreed to by the committee to ensure that the sector transforms. So in slide 31, it's just the oversight approach. I won't reiterate, because it's what the honorable members in the committee have articulated themselves. So ours was to then, on slide 82, try and make it practical to say what is it that the committee, if you can move to slide 82, Sandra. The committee agreed on an oversight philosophy. It talks to the last point that I talked to in terms of coordination between parliament, government, and other sector departments. I won't go into detail. The details are in the report, CPC. So the committee talked about the spokes of a wheel. That's what it was referred to. And we had to consult with our IT guys within parliament to say, how can we make this model? The model we submitted to the committee, and the committee endorsed it. So at the core, at the center of the coordination, at a parliamentary level, as members can see at the center, there's the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. But then the Portfolio Committee on Tourism engages all other portfolio committees, including the select committees, that have a mandate to contribute towards tourism, because in engaging those portfolio committees in parliament, the committee will be engaging the relevant department through them, like the committee did with the police, where you'll have the department, you'll have the Minister of responsible for that other department. We have officials when we deal with a particular issue. I'll just make a few examples of what is in the document. If, for example, you look at cooperative governance and traditional affairs, there is a lot in terms of what is said in the submissions. You look at the maintenance of the tourist attractions. You need municipalities to be involved there. You look at capacitating local government and officials. You look at issues of bringing in the traditional leadership in terms of capacitating their governance structure. So all those things can be effectively discussed and communicated if the Department of Cooperative Governance is there through the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. Then the program of action can be agreed to. Look at police, for example. We already have a good example because we've met police in a joint committee meeting. So we can have them looking at the issue of the safety for tourists, the issue of patrols of tourist attractions, which is their mandate anyway, but contributes a lot in terms of ensuring that the tourists are safe. And if tourists are safe, we have more tourists coming to the destination, have more prospects of transformation because there's a critical mass of people that can benefit from the sector. So we can go on and on, Chairperson, in terms of how other departments can be roped in, but as the members saw in the documents, all the information is there in terms of how we can coordinate among other portfolio committees. But if you look outside now, Parliament and government, you have those three critical stakeholders that we're looking at to say you need private sector to implement most of the things that the committee wants to see happening. You need private sector. If you talk training, if you talk mentorship, all these things need private sector. And if you look at dealing with issues of villages, townships, small dorpies, you need communities there in all its formation. So the issue of communities then becomes a problem. Also the issue of research institutions, so that we have research that does not just look at what is happening in the sector, but goes beyond to say what products then can be developed in the sector. So in terms of this, the detail is in the report, Chairperson. We're just making an example to say this is the oversight model that is good for transformation because it brings everyone on board and then it ensures that the new players are brought on board. Then the last slide, Chairperson, is where we are suggesting the way forward. If we look at the inception of this whole process, it was the committee saying every September, the committee wants to give feedback to stakeholders in terms of what has been done in tourism. Now, in order to give that feedback, the committee needs to have interacted with a number of stakeholders, including communities, different spheres of government, public sector, private sector, and so on and so on. So we are saying this is your report as the committee to consider, make a further input and approve it in line with that committee process of providing stakeholders with the feedback every September. Unfortunately, in terms of parliamentary program, this will be our last meeting in September and we're only coming back, I think, on the 6th of October. So this will be the last meeting we have. That is why the meeting was scheduled on the 1st of September, so that from our side, as support staff, at least we fulfill that directive from the committee to say the committee needs to give feedback to stakeholders. But the report is still your chairperson and the members. But we are saying to make effect, chairperson, of touching base with all other portfolio committees, maybe the report might need to be tabled to the House so that all other, through that oversight model, Chairperson, all other portfolio committees and other departments can see the role that they play, so that when we ask for joint meetings and so on, at least they know where we want to touch base with them. And then it will then for the report to be adopted by the committee and shared with the stakeholders. And in terms of dissemination, then we will tap to our parliamentary communications colleagues to see how then the committee is assisted with communicating the report. But what is important is a decision by the committee to decide whether the report needs to be tabled to the House. Our recommendation is for it to be tabled, Chair, so that at least all other portfolio committees know what their role are. So that is us, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Doc. And also thank you to Sisanda, the researcher of the committee. Honorable members, there is the report, but before we go far with the report, it's actually my fault. When we started the meeting, I had thought Australia had started the meeting. We need to welcome into the ranks of the Portfolio Committee of Tourism a new honorable member from the Eastern Cape. She is coming into the place of Honorable Peters. May his soul continue to rest in peace. The new honorable member who is joining us is Honorable Phume Zampushe. You are welcome, honorable member, to the Portfolio Committee. You are welcome to participate, raise whatever matters that you want to raise. You are free to contribute, and we welcome you with warm hands as the Portfolio Committee. Honorable members, we are now going to give members an opportunity to speak. We will start with Honorable Kalipa. Dr. Kalipa, if he's not there, can we go to Honorable Krambok? Dr. Krambok.
Chairperson, Honorable Krambok had submitted
an apology
to say he will be very late if he makes it on.
No problem. You can come in for him. The platform is yours now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't have too many comments on my side. I think that a lot was covered in the reports from amongst things about how do we create new space for new jobs and new entrants to how do we make the space more available for all people. So I don't have too many comments, and I see a lot of work has gone into that, and it's appreciated.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Gumbi. Dr. Mutenga. The Honorable Mutenga. Was he also struggling with connectivity? Honorable Mutega. Okay, Honorable Miyeni. Dr. Miyeni. It doesn't look like we've got Honorable Miyeni. We will now take Honorable Galo.
Honorable Chair, can you hear me?
Clearly.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Let me appreciate the report. It is clear and straightforward, Honorable Chair. But I must also indicate that you, in your opening remarks, Chair, you have summarized this report nicely. And I want to support the idea that, Honorable Chair, the report should be tabled in Parliament. I would support that kind of an idea, and also welcome Umampushana from the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, the Honorable Galo. Honorable Miyeni, are you back? Dr. Kaliba, are you back? Dr. Muteka, are you back? Let's go to Honorable Kumba. She was experiencing some connectivity problems. We will come back to her. Honorable De Freitas has apologized, honorable members. He is consulting the doctor. Let's take Honorable Abraham. Honorable April. It doesn't look like he's there. Let's take Honorable T.S. Kako. Honorable Kako was also experiencing connectivity problems. She kept on coming in and out. We will now take Honorable Mpushe. I hope I'm pronouncing your surname correctly, my sister.
Yes, Chaplain, you are pronouncing it correctly.
Once more, you are welcome, Auskumes.
No, thanks, Chaplain. Good morning, Honorable Members. I would like to also concur with the members who in or follow suit in terms of welcoming the presentation. It's quite informative for me, and I think the presentation is in line with the envisaged program of transformation, as earlier alluded by the chairperson in his opening remarks. I must say, I'm just looking forward to the responses from the Honorable Minister as to how far the department with the implementation, so as for us to find ways of together planning the way forward if there are any hiccups, Chairperson. That will be all from my side. I think, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Bonga mina, Honorable Mpushe. Thanks, my sister, for the contribution. Thanks very much. Let's check again. Dr. Kaliba, are you there? Dr. Kaliba. Okay, he's not there. Dr. Mutika. Dr. Mutika. Doesn't look like we have him. Gumba Gumba, it doesn't look like she has been able to connect. Honorable April, it doesn't look like he has connected. Honorable Kako was disconnected earlier on. Are you back? Okay, Auseli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation by Dr. Kuzwayo, Mr. Sandaloni, and the tourism team from Parliament, which has put together such a comprehensive report in terms of the status quo of transformation and what strategies can be employed to working towards a transformation of the sector. Perhaps I only have one comment, Chairperson, around the issue of transformation of the tourism sector. Let me remind Dr. Kuzwayo and Sisanda that when the department or the sector was struggling to promote domestic tourism, there was a request from Treasury to reinvest about 100 million towards a domestic tourism. And when transformation seemed staggering, there was also the introduction of the transformation fund, which was secured in the budget of tourism from Treasury. But what I want to find out is whether these resources are enough to ensure that a transformation happens at a faster pace. And perhaps can we be, is it possible that we can advocate for more funding and the monies be reinvested so that even if the resources are not used in that financial year, they can be rolled over to the following year so that we can have a tailor-made transformation program that will see the tourism sector transform at a faster pace than what the industry is doing currently. And then perhaps can we also, is it possible, Dr. Kuzwayo, because we understand that the money can be appropriated, it goes to the entity, and then the entity, its mandate is to market products in the country as a tourist destination of choice in the various provinces. Perhaps is it possible to also come up with a strategy to say, out of the reinvent resources that will be there, can that those funds not solely look into marketing destinations, but also to do product development and ensure that there is transformation in the sector, perhaps have stakes in perhaps in the current game lodges to say, is it possible perhaps maybe to bring in a BEE partners so that this becomes strategies to fast track transformation? Because what the tourism sector once said in one of our meetings, Chairperson, is that they want to be incentivized to do the things that government wants them to do. They do not want to just do it for the sake of doing. So if there is incentive that would ensure that these businesses see the value, perhaps maybe that would be a move in the right direction. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. Thanks very much, my sister. Honorable members, we have got four members who are struggling to get onto the platform. It's Honorable Kleko, Honorable Muntika, Honorable Miyeni, and Honorable Kumba. We are sorry that they are unable to get onto the platform, unless any one of them is now on the platform. If any one of them is now on the platform, we give them an opportunity to speak if they are there. Honorable Lukomba, are you there? Honorable Muteka? Honorable Miyeni? Honorable Kako? It looks like they are still struggling, like many of us struggled this morning to get onto the platform. We take this opportunity to thank our researchers, our administration in the office for having prepared such a report. The manner in which they executed the decision of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism to embark on a four-year program that is focusing on transformation of the tourism sector. We thank you for understanding that transformation is an important integral part of getting South Africa right to become a united, democratic, non-racial, non-sexist, and a prosperous society. That is the road that will take us to the national democratic society we seek to create in this country. The only road that can take us to this national democratic society we are talking about is transformation. So transformation is unavoidable, it is inevitable, it must happen. If it doesn't happen, the consequences for our country will be dire, because we don't know how the future generations will respond to the sluggish transformation agenda that is happening in the country. There is a proposal that we need to table the report in the House. I think all of us are agreeing to that proposal. We will follow all the necessary processes to ensure that the report is tabled in the House, it's debated in the House, so that it can formally be a decision or a resolution by Parliament to pursue this agenda of transformation. From generations that came before us, we are also creating, as a generation of the FIFA administration, a platform for future generations that will take from us here in Parliament to drive this transformation agenda. We are working on improving our relationship between the rest of the other portfolio committees. As you saw in the diagram there, we have about 18 portfolio committees and select committees that we need to be working with to drive the agenda of tourism. If we don't work with those other committees and the select committees, we are not going to succeed. So through the SAMDRAC, SAMDRAC philosophy, we must always SAMDRAC and SAMDRAC work together with other committees towards one objective of getting the tourism sector right, to serve our people, to create jobs, to grow the economy, to diversify, to build entrepreneurship, to make South Africa a competitive country economically. So we really want to thank the team, honorable members, for the contributions you have made today. We also, once more, want to thank those who are from the department, Petra, who are on this platform. You are there, Ms. Petra. Petra. Yeah, those who are from the department.
I'm here with two other colleagues from head office who are observing.
Yes. We want to thank you for making time to be with us on this platform so that you can hear the report from the committee relating to the inputs that we received from the ground in as far as tourism is concerned. It's quite clear that going forward, we will have to work very, very hard. Very, very hard in making sure that every village has got its own village tourism plan. Every township throughout South Africa must have a township-based tourism plan. And then we must have a small town's tourism plans for every small town. The reason we must do so, honorable members, is because tourism is highly concentrated in the big cities. It has been like that before 1994. It has been like that post-1994 for now almost 26 years. The status quo has not changed. The status quo remains the same. So for us to move a bit more aggressively forward, we will have to push for the existence of village-based tourism plan, so that every village working with their traditional leaders and local entrepreneurs and so on, they can develop their own plan in as far as tourism is concerned, so that they can create opportunities not only for jobs, but for entrepreneurship, the ownership and control of the economy, so that there can be vibrancy around village tourism. Township tourism, it must be the same thing. This over-reliance on international tourists is not sustainable. And the coronavirus has indicated that this over-reliance on international tourists, yes, it's important, but it's not sustainable. As soon as something happens in as far as international tourists are concerned, then we have a problem. So you can imagine a situation where every village is going to be vibrant and have its own tourism plan, implementing it, and local people there in every village running their own affairs. It also means from, as Honorable Lucy was saying, from a budgeting perspective, we will have to start thinking differently and implementing differently. And I think as soon as we can work with the rest of the other committees so that the rest of other departments can push other basic infrastructure like roads to the villages, communication infrastructure to the villages, water infrastructure to the villages, all these other infrastructures that we need so that tourism can be viable in the villages, in the townships, and in the small dorpies. In this committee, we deliberately do not want to overemphasize rural. Because when we talk about rural, from a tourism perspective, it includes private game farms. So when you look at the totality of tourism in the rural perspective, it's misleading because it will tell you that there is some sense of tourism taking place in the rural areas, when actually that tourism, those tourism activities taking place will be the private game lodges, which are adjacent to the villages. And the villagers have got no benefit at all from these private game lodges, which are recorded in our statistics as rural tourism. So when you look at the performance of rural tourism, you will think that we are doing relatively well. But when you zoom into village by village, you will realize that we are not doing that well. The private game lodges have got all the infrastructure necessary. All the infrastructure necessary, and the private game lodges in South Africa are owned by our white compatriots. Black people and Africans do not control and own the private game lodges. The other game lodges that are there are owned by the state. Others are a triple P type of arrangement and so on, gradually, because of the land claims and all other advances that are made in transformation, for instance, in Kruger National Park. There are some sprinklers of black people who are having some concessions there. But by and large, the private game lodges in the Republic of South Africa are owned by white people. Black people and Africans do not own and control the private game lodges. In the private game lodges, as I said earlier, they work as security, as cleaners, and so on and so on, and in the hotels and in the guest houses. So this situation has to change. We can't have South Africa continuing to be as it is. Right? So, and I'm happy that ourselves in the committee, we agree that we'll have to, for instance, the workers who are in this, who are working in the tourism establishments, they've got no stake, no control, no ownership, but they're employed in these establishments for many years, from one generation to another. They work in these establishments as workers. So worker representatives must also stand up and say, we need to make sure that workers from whom we are having the tourism sector having to perform well and be recognized, because they invest their labor in the establishment, the development, and the sustaining of these enterprises. So, honorable members, for the next 4 years, this will be mainly our focus. So that by the time we go out and another administration comes in after the next elections, future generations can inherit, as I have said, from this committee, some progress that we will have made in as far as oversight with specific focus on transformation is concerned. So we will embark on the process of settling this in Parliament, follow the necessary processes that are required by Parliament, and then move forward with our program. Enjoy your afternoon this afternoon at 2, the sitting of Parliament, honorable members. This is how we come to the end of this meeting of the Tourism Portfolio Committee on Spring Day, which is doesn't look like Spring Day. It's so cold. I don't know the rest of the other parts of the country, but it's cold, it's windy in Mahikeng, the capital city of Bokone Bophirima, Northwest. Honorable members, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say,
I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to